Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast. I'm Jim Paulson with the Star Tribune, along with my colleague David Levesque, talking preps. It's one of our first all-winter sports talking preps segments. Football season, fall season is done and behind us, and I think we've gone into that in depth. It's time to take a look at what's going on now and moving forward. David, you are our designated hockey guy. Mm-hmm. You're the hockey guy. Mm-hmm. I just like to say hockey guy. So as long as we've got hockey on the brain, why don't you tell me what's going on in the world of Minnesota high school ice hockey?
Yeah, we'd cover the girls a few weeks ago and kind of got that rolling, and they're about half a dozen games into their schedule, and we'll revisit that here as a little more. There's a little more time has passed to get a sense of who's playing who. I mean, where we left off, you had top teams knocking each other off, and you had schedules that told you that there was more games, more telling games to come. So we'll have more on that when we have a little bit more of a body of work. But the boys' side we haven't covered at all. And we're anywhere from 3 to 4 games in, depending on the program. Unless you're Duluth East, I loved the fact that they started the year in the Let's Play Hockey Coaches Association rankings at number 3. And that's fair. They were the runner-up last year at the state tournament. They moved to number 2, however, without playing a game. And I texted Greyhounds coach Mike Randolph congratulating him on that accomplishment. And he laughed and he said, maybe we shouldn't play any games.
There you go. Can you go any higher than one?
We move up without even playing, you know. So they, number 1, of course, is defending state champion Minnetonka. I will give something of a spoiler alert. They won't repeat, and here's why. The state of hockey does their really well-produced Dream State programs. Have you seen any of these? I know you're not the most diligent consumer of hockey media, but these the documentaries that have take you through in the past, Stillwater, Eden Prairie, Moorhead. Well, guess what? Every single one of those teams fell short of winning the state tournament. I texted Sean Goldsworthy. I said, I saw you're the feature on Dream State, also known as Kiss of Death. So he had a good laugh.
So we've
about
had
that.
The Sports Illustrated cover drinks jinx. This more is a, or less, the state of hockey Dream State.
Exactly.
Jinx.
And again, these shows are incredibly well done and well produced. And if I'm a kid or a coach or if I'm a parent, I'm thrilled that it's my turn in the spotlight. But it hasn't always worked out. And I always wonder about that. I was embedded with Hill Murray, was it about 7, 8 years ago.
And I was still showing the battle scars.
Well, and I always felt like I just represented pressure. You know what I mean? Like, the kids know they're Hill Murray and they got a target and all that, and they were number 1 ranked for part of that year. And so the pressure comes from a lot of forms. But I always wondered if you're my presence in the locker room or at practice all the time or at games and riding the bus to Moorhead, I always wondered if that didn't cause them to lose, but it's just like one more thing that hangs over the head. You never know if they are, you know, dig it or if it's a burden or what. No, I want, you know, so I hopefully that the Minnetonka players are able to take the Dream State experience in stride and still accomplish their on-ice goals.
You know, looking at the hockey and where we're sitting right now, I was looking at the preview you did last week and the 10 players to watch and the Dream Team. Can you tell me a little bit about those Dream Team picks and how you came about those? You got Fritzinger, the goalie at Andover, which is a school, by the way, that's having a great hockey season, both boys and girls. I think they're ranked top 5 in both.
Yep.
Matthew Gleason of Creighton-Durham Hall, a CC commit. Jack Jensen, Eden Prairie, going to the U. Michael Koster of Chaska, also going to the U. Ludke, the defenseman from Tonka. Mason Nevers of Edina, going to the U. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that Dream Team choice and what were some of the toughest guys maybe to leave off that Dream Team?
I think the Dream Team and the players to watch, by the way, they're 15, so you didn't read it very closely.
I just read the first team. I could take up the entire time reading the rest of the list. We'd be out of time here.
There was only 15 of them. But so the Dream Team, I mean, you try to get the guys that have, you know, again, it's like we've said about the Player of the Year. It's this imperfect mix of individual player's pedigree, team performance, you know, all of those things play a role. And those guys are as good a place to start as any. I mean, people ask me, who looks good? They all look good to me. I mean, I play Sunday night hockey with a bunch of has-beens and never-wases. I mean, these are all talented players. But these players seem to come up as far as, you know, what they bring to their positions. And so that's what we rolled with. As far as the 15 players to watch, I'll admit, you know, we throw a few in there that might not be real obvious Lake Conference or Northwest Suburban studs, because how many of those do you really need on a preseason watch list? Spread the love around.
You know, a little balance.
Get a few kids out there from the fringe. Get a few kids out there from the programs that may not make the deep tournament run, but they're still kids that are working hard and doing their thing. So, hey, call them out. And we've got the All-Metro teams at the end of the year with the coaches' input. That'll get us down to the key guys. But at the beginning, let's spread it around a little.
Well, and the one other thing I was wondering is I'm not going to have any questions on the six guys you got on the dream team, six players I mentioned. Who was the one player that was the toughest, the last one that you said, gosh, he should be on that dream team, but I can't, but it's only six.
Yeah, nobody immediately comes to mind. I mean, because, yeah, you can make arguments on a couple of
these. Was this a clear delineation? Did you see that these are the six players that, for a dream team, you clearly believe are the top players?
I did feel that way. I mean, you could look at maybe a Charlie Glockner at Minnetonka and say, well, maybe he should be the goalie. He's coming back, having won a state championship. He could have replaced Fritzinger, and you know, you've been fine there. There's a few other guys you could move around for whatever reason, but it's a group that I think it's a great place to start. And if you want to pick a guy here or there for preference, there's always an argument to be made. But all in all, I think it's a good launching pad.
You know, you talked about Minnetonka being the number one team mm-hmm. in the rankings. They're the defending state champs.
Yes.
Duluth East moving up
now
to
number two.
Yeah. You know, and the longer they hang on, guys, just wait till everyone else
loses.
They've
played two games now, so they're 2-0. Oh, so they've earned their number two designation now.
Looking forward.
Yeah.
How do you expect this season to play out? If you had to, I mean, is Minnetonka the number one team? Disregarding that your now expressed state of hockey jinx, is Minnetonka the number one team, or is there other teams that you think right now are as good or could be ascending that number one spot?
Yeah, I've always thought that the defending champ should get the right of first refusal. But this Tonka is not just a token selection in that way. They return a lot, and they've got a lot going for them at different spots in the lineup. And then they've lost a couple guys, they added a few guys. I still think they're the best team going right now until somebody proves them otherwise. You know, and that's the beauty, is we're going to see them play a little bit of everybody. Duluth East, they're number two right now. You mentioned how Andover is off to such a nice start. They're number four. Those two teams see each other on Saturday at 2:00 up in Andover, so we'll get a better look at where they stand.
And excuse me, I'm a little bit fuzzy on this. Are they in the same section?
Andover, they are. Duluth, they're East? Both in Section 7. Section 7. Matter of fact, They went to overtime last year up at Amsoil Arena in Duluth, and Duluth East knocked them off in overtime. So, and Andover virtually lost nothing from that team. Duluth East did lose a little bit more in terms of quality players, but they come back with Ryder Donovan, who's kind of a Mr. Hockey favorite. Was committed to North Dakota, recently decommitted and reopened his process. I don't think he'll be orphaned long. He'll turn up someplace in major college hockey. He's a heck of a player. Edina's number three. Maple Grove is going to move up. The rankings that Let's Play Hockey provides, they come out on Wednesdays, and Maple Grove came into from the last rankings were 10. They're now 3-0-1, and the one official tie that they had, because when you play a tournament during the season, if you win in overtime like they did, they beat Edina, it goes officially as a tie. But for all intent and purposes, they're 4-0, and they beat Edina. So that's a feather in their cap. I expect Maple Grove moves way up, and that's a surprise because they got hurt by early departures, and you kind of thought, well, you know, see you later. But they're battling really well right now, and that's good to see.
You know, there's one name. You look at the top 10 rankings, and they came out as of the time that we're recording this about a week ago, so we should be very quickly getting some new rankings. And like I said, Maple Grove will likely be moving up. The one team in the top 10 rankings that I don't know much about, that seems like kind of a, I don't want to say an outlier, but a relatively new name, is Chaska. You know, you see Minnetonka East, Edina, you see the Hill Murray, St. Thomas Academies, and you just talked about Maple Grove, but Chaska's right up there. What do you know about
building,
Chaska?
They've been building to this team. This is the one, if they're going to get through, because they're in that tough, tough section too. They've got Eden Prairie. They've got Minnetonka.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Family was the section runner-up last year in double overtime. Now, they've probably dropped off a bit, but Eden Prairie is rising. Tonka's still strong. If Chaska's going to break through that grind of a section, this is the team they've been building toward. They've got Kester on defense, who we talked about, going to the U. They've got Warnert. They've got Pitlick. They've got forwards. They've got D. The question is always, will they have enough come playoff time? And, you know, they haven't had the deep run to build on. Now, what will they be able to grow up in a hurry in a very tough section and break through? But, yeah, there's a lot of buzz about Chaska, and rightfully so.
You know, looking over in Class 1A, and again, I was looking at doing some factoring and figuring. Class 1A is still has a few metro teams. I think 29 of the 84 teams are considered metro, or at least what we consider metro, which includes the North Branches and and some schools are
Hutchinson, Red Wing.
That we obviously fudge just a bit, over in Class 1A. The teams are, eight of the top 10 are non-metro, and a lot of the same teams that you've seen a while before. Hermantown, Cathedral, Greenway is number 4, Alex is number 3. You know, it's not until you get to Matamidi at 5 and then Orono at number 9 that it's a non, that are metro teams in Class 1A.
Orono.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about what you see in the 1A class, and is that the way hockey has been going and is going to continue to go, where with the bigger schools in the metro, it's the domain of Double A, and 1A, which is largely going to be most of the Single A, or the small school.
Single A could be a lot more outstate than it is. Grand Rapids is a Single A program. Mm-hmm. Roseau is a Single A program. They could be, you know, Grand Rapids could be in there with Hermantown in that section, and Roseau could be going with War Road in that section.
Obviously, with Grand Rapids' success 2 years ago, they're making the right choice, or at least they have made the right choice.
Well, they've committed to the notion that they may only get that team every 7-8 years, but when it comes around, look out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've committed to that, and there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said, though, for War Road's decision to say, you know what? We'd like to get there more often than that, and so they do what they do. Last night in Single A, there was a big Louis St. George III, who does a great job up there at the Duluth News Tribune. I saw a tweet from him last night. Your Denfeld Hunters improved to 4-0. They beat number 4 Greenway in overtime last night. So that's an interesting development and a nice early season. Victory for Denfeld and a feather in their cap. I do think Greenway will survive it and come back to be right there with Hermantown in Section 7 like they've been the last couple of years. But again, good to see a little shakeup early to keep teams honest.
And this just shows the depth of my lack of knowledge, or the shallowness of my knowledge, I guess we can say it that way. I thought Hermantown was looking at moving up. There's still money school. I thought there'd been a lot of scuttlebutt about Hermantown going Double A.
I'd asked them last year about it at the state tournament because Bruce Plant stepped down and, mm-hmm. and they've got new leadership and I was told that one thing they want to get in place first is the second sheet, the facilities to support the kids in their training endeavors, because everybody that plays Double A and is toward the top has those things in place, and so once they get there, they could see making a move. They're going to find out a little bit more about where they stand. This weekend is the second annual North-South Classic. Eden Prairie and Benilde St. Margaret's heads up to Brainerd. They each will see Brainerd and Hermantown, and that's a nice gauge for Hermantown to kind of see where they fit in with some AA metro schools.
And we haven't talked much about girls hockey. I know you talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Is anything that's shaken out any different to you? I mean, it seems like the same old teams. You have Edina, you've got Blake. Andover has crept up there to show what kind of program Andover has developed in hockey, both boys and girls, top 5 in the state. Is there another team that you know about that could challenge those teams, or is it going to be pretty much a lot of the same same culprits, the same the usual suspects, we'll say.
Yeah, man, that's where, when we talked about them last time on this show, that's where we left off, and I haven't looked at it closely since. So that's, I'm not gonna blow smoke here. Sorry.
Anyway, that's our hockey talk for next. We'll get into more hockey next week. Saturday, I was out at Hopkins Lindbergh Center. It's called the Lindbergh Center. It's basically where Hopkins High School, where they play their games. Mm-hmm. Watching the breakdown tip-off classic girls basketball. A real good showcase for girls basketball. There's most of the top teams were there. Mm-hmm. Lots of good matchups. I saw Hopkins and Eastview playing a rematch of the Class 4A championship game last year, and it was close for about, 7 minutes. I think Eastview even led 11-10, and then Hopkins went on a 26-5 run with Paige Becker's wheeling and dealing and shooting and running and doing just about everything for that team.
Are they finally too big to fail?
I don't think you're never too big to fail. I mean, they've got the best player in the state, and perhaps the best player in high school, the most recruited, the most highly touted high school player in state history.
Right.
In Paige Becker's, and she was money on Saturday. There's no doubt about that. But they're high school girls, and there's some teams out there like Wayzata that could challenge them, that have an enviable starting five and some very talented players of their own. So I would say that a Wayzata, maybe a St. Michael Albertville on a good day, and if Stillwater gels, that's another team that I think could possibly sneak in there. But as of this point in the season, Hopkins is just running over people. They pulled away and beat Eastview by about 20 points. Mm. And it really, once they made that run in the end of the first half, it was pretty much over. One thing that I didn't watch as much as I should have, because the nature of the day is games going all day long, and the centerpiece game, the marquee matchup, was the Hopkins-Eastview game at 6. But on another court at the same time was Prior Lake playing Park Center, two programs that have really stepped up in the past few years.
Yeah.
And I didn't see much of it because I was watching the Hopkins ECU game, but when it was over, I went and watched a little bit. And McKenna Hoshield, who stands barely 5'3", and I mean barely 5'3", I think her coach has said that that's maybe on a good day on her tippy toes. 63 points, state record in that game. She is fearless. She can handle the ball. She can go inside. She can shoot from outside. She's terrific at drawing fouls and going to the line. And you think basketball's a game for the tall kids? Largely it is, but you watch her play and you think there's still room for the little, the smaller player. Just the way she plays, she's a heck of a lot of fun to watch. There was some question about whether or not she had set a state record for free throws in the game. Because she was shooting so often, and it wasn't that she wasn't getting her teammates involved. It's just that the Park Center was playing a much more physical, up tempo game, and she had to step up her game from an offensive standpoint to keep up. But whether she had there were some reports that it was 25 of 35 from the line. We found out that it's actually, according to the coach, she's 24 of 30, still top five in the state in free throws in a game made and free throws taken in a game, but she didn't set a state record. 63 points is a state record, and you think of some of the names that have come through Minnesota basketball.
Yeah, that surprises me. It's a great number, but I thought somebody might have caught some lower level team on an off night and gone nuts. But
exactly,
that's still the record.
Something like a Taylor Hill or back in the day a Janet Carvinen or
yes.
a Rebecca Dahlman or
sure.
somebody one of
exactly.
those players.
Yeah.
But the state record for points in a game goes to a 5'2" spark plug of a guard from Prior Lake and McKenna Hoshield. And let me tell you, she's not just a joy to watch. She's fun to talk to, too.
That's
she's
cool.
she's a good quote. She was very thoughtful about what she's saying. She's gonna play at Seton Hall. And lest anyone think that a 5'2" player, 5'3" player can't compete in big time basketball, Seton Hall is I believe a Big East team. And if I'm not mistaken, there's two other teams in the Big East, girls basketball or women's basketball, Connecticut and Notre Dame, who happen to be the two top teams in the nation. So she's going to take her talents and play on some of the biggest stages. So she is the real deal. And congratulations to her on her 63-point effort. Thing was, she starred Park Center still won. So she's going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting for Prior Lake if they want to get back to the state tournament this year.
So as you're watching the game, you're watching, but and there's always cheering from out of the court anytime something good happens for one team, their fans cheer. But as you think about it now, was it getting louder as time went on? Was this like the Tiger Woods gallery, on a far-off green, but you could hear it before you could see it?
I'd love to say there was a crescendo building and that you're taking notice.
Right.
But the weird thing about these tournaments is there's no bands, there's no cheerleaders,
Sure. There's
no atmosphere, really. You've got two courts going on at the same time. I love the fact that they put these on as a chance to see great teams all together.
Yeah.
But from a fan experience standpoint, it's not the same as watching it in a high school gym where you've got definitely have a one team being rooted for. So I really couldn't tell. The other aspect of it was that, and this is something that I've kind of a burr under my saddle a little bit, it was called way too tightly. Every bump, every nudge, every push was called, and it became a parade to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. I'll say this over and over and over again. You just need to relax. You shouldn't call everything. There needs to be a threshold. I said it for football. I say it for basketball, too. There needs to be a threshold for when a foul is called. You can't call things strictly by the rules. There needs to be a level of when it's worth calling and when it's not, and sometimes it can be just too all over the place. And this game was just ragged in terms of the number of fouls that were called.
Needlessly. I was talking to a hockey official. It's a different sport, but I think the example fits what you're saying. He was talking to me about how to manage a game and call penalties. He said, "Hey, if it's youth level, then maybe you call a penalty is a penalty is a penalty at the youth level." Because you're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
High school is a participation sport, and it's hard to participate when you're on the bench or in the penalty box.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was brilliant.
And what I've said for a long time is, like I said, there needs to be a threshold for how something is called, as well as an understanding. And I'm not sure, I think that line's been blurred a little bit, and what the purpose is of having officials in the game. My belief has always been that an official is there to make sure the game is played fairly and consistently according to the rules, but also that the competition is left to the players on the court, on the ice, on the field, wherever it is. And when you call it too tightly, when you call it too much according to the rules, then you take away that competitive factor. There's going to be things you don't like. There's going to be things that may, technically be against the rules, but you have to make sure that you're looking at it and putting it into perspective and context, and too often that isn't done. That's just my little rant on high schools. I'd like to see more attention paid towards the bigger picture rather than just calling penalties, calling fouls, what have you, by the book. I don't know. That might just be me. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I agree with the notion of game management. That's I can't tell you exactly what it always looks like, but I like the notion of it and the idea that a ref would be conscientious about game management.
Absolutely.
I'm all for that. Particularly on deadline.
And last thing I'll talk about, did a story this week on girls basketball, actually basketball in general for a basketball preview, on balancing between AAU basketball and high school basketball. Mm-hmm. There's some definite lines of demarcation. You've got two different paths that kind of run parallel to each other in the basketball world, and players have to balance both. AAU isn't going to go away. In fact, for many players, it becomes the most important season of the year, their AAU season, because they're playing with other high-level players. They're traveling the country, playing in the top-notch tournaments. They're seen by coaches. Coaches have a much better chance to see these players off-season because they're coaching. College coaches are coaching their own players during the winter.
And they want to do one-stop shopping.
Absolutely.
They can't go to every gym all over the country.
Absolutely.
But if you get a batch of them together.
And AAU is set up basically for exposure for these kids. That's
absolutely.
The whole point of it. The high school game, as lovely as it is, and we all have the notions of the pie-in-the-sky notions of playing for your high school team and representing that school, sometimes it is a little bit lacking in terms of the quality of play. Getting back to the officiating is much different between high school and AAU, and the players have to adapt to that. I think most players say they enjoy both seasons, but it's something that it's an interesting dichotomy, we'll say, that you've got basketball for the same level of players and the same names, but it's a completely different style of basketball, and it's worth talking about at this point because, like I said, AAU basketball and AAU sports, off-season sports, are not going away. So it's time that we embrace them and understand what they are.
And it sounds like, you know, getting back to the notion of game management, you manage the article and the balance well because you've had people who are keen on basketball and the two worlds of it saying that you played it just right. I'm not pumping your tires. That's the feedback.
So yeah, and there are some high school coaches that hate the AAU ball, yeah. And there's some that hate it, and there's some that think it's great because players come in. Anytime you get to play basketball, it's good. You know, when you've got a ball in your hands and you're playing, it's great. And the players seem to like it a lot. There's one player at Lakeville South, Anna Harvey, that she very, very good player, guard, very political answer. I said, so what do you prefer, high school or AAU? And she paused. And you don't hear a kid pause very often, so you know she's thoughtful. She said, I had a lot of fun in the AAU season. Okay, there we go. Very political, without taking one down, but that's a good point. Because that's what sports should be, fun. And you know, they're both a chance for people to play the sport they love. I think that's about it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Next week, we'll get more into possibly some of the other sports and then maybe look ahead at some of the holiday tournaments.